That's that great part of Psalm 119 there. Well, this morning I'm returning to the book of Proverbs, and right there in the middle of your Bibles, we're going to start reading from Proverbs 1, verse 1. Some time ago I preached on the first eight verses, or seven verses, pointing out especially verse 7, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Don't be a fool. Let's start reading at verse 1, and the text this morning that I'll be focusing on, the passage I'm focusing on, is the verses 8 to 19. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And now the instruction begins. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw your lot amongst us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. Brothers and sisters, congregation, and especially young people, one of the loudest and urgent words in the lives of today's generation is now. The spirit of the age is to want and demand everything now, today, and definitely no later than yesterday. We want happiness now. We want success now. We want to be at the top of things now. We want to fulfill our dreams and ambitions now. We want to discover sex now. Tomorrow is far away and might never come. Now is the hour. Now is the moment. Now is all that matters. Can you hear it? I'm told that for many teenagers, the age of 25 is just about the beginning of old age. And being 30 and beyond means that you've already got one foot in the grave. Only now, being young, being optimistic, strong, is the moment. Well, as any parent or teacher knows, one of life's greatest and most demanding challenges is to get our children to see beyond now and to start thinking, planning, and living and growing for tomorrow, for next year, for next month, and ultimately for 100 years from now. Learn to think long term. Learn to think beyond what I want and demand right now. Learn to think in the light of eternity. Now that is precisely what the book of Proverbs calls and teaches upon us to do. Here is divine wisdom and instruction calling us to put into practice wisdom from God. Learn to make plans to live today in the light of eternity. There is more to life than this moment. There is more to life than here and now. God has put eternity in the hearts of human beings. Now, Proverbs is God's means of teaching us this wonderful wisdom. It's God's instruction book for Christ-loving parents and their children. Here is relevant an instruction for those that have put on the Lord Jesus Christ, that want to say Christ is the head of our home. And therefore, I challenge you this morning in the name of Jesus and with your eyes and opened by the Holy Spirit to hear what this book has to say about the challenges, choices, and decisions that you must make in your life as you prepare for eternity. In the verses 8 and 9, you can picture King Solomon calling one of his sons to open his ears and eyes to his dad's instruction and equally to the teaching, the patient correction and guidance, encouragement of his mother. Here, boy, open your ears, listen, my son, take heed to what I am saying. You see, in the text here, it says, hear, my son, and that word hear here is, other versions, I like the word listen sometimes, which that hearing with a sense of listening is extremely important here. You know, and I know I'm not young anymore. Thank you. I really felt that encouragement in my heart. But you know, is it not true? I've got grandchildren at the moment as well. But part of being young is that feeling that you've now arrived on the scene and you already know everything you need to know. You know what I mean? I mean, how easy it is for a kid to tell them, yeah, Mum, talk to the head. Heard that? Know that? Oh, come on. I already know what you're going to tell me. You see, the reality is, in particular in our culture today, that ours has become a generation where young people hate to hear with a view to learning, with a view to being corrected, with a view to being turned in a certain direction. You see, when you're young, to hear another voice is virtually out of the question. You know, our culture tells us to put self first. If you really want to know what to do with your life, listen to your heart. Follow your dreams. I'll do it my way. You know what I mean? And the result is, brothers and sisters, that ours is a young generation that is resistant to hearing. And surely the challenge, therefore, to kids to young people and old is to say, hey, are you ready to start turning up your hearing aids? Are you prepared to stop listening to the screaming of your own feelings and start listening to what your parents and your teachers and your pastors and your elders need to tell you? Well, that's a challenge to youngsters. But can I add another thing here? There's another side to this as well. And now I'm talking to the seniors, those over 25. Now, sometimes we need to ask, is the instruction and teaching we give to our children worth hearing or taking on board? Fathers, mothers, grandfathers and grandmothers, uncles and aunts, is the instruction that you give to children and young people, both by word and deed, worth hearing? I mean, can I put it another way? In parenting, in teaching, is our instruction God-centered? There's the challenge. Does it begin with the basic, my only comfort in life and in death is that I am not my own but belong body and soul to my precious Lord and Savior Jesus? Is it instruction that confirms and conforms with Peter's words in Philippians when he says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord? For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. You know, I'm called, you are called as parents and grandparents to instruct our children, to give them something worth hearing. Is it worth hearing what is coming out of your mouth? And if it is also true that actions speak louder than words, do your actions demonstrate your dependence upon and love for the Lord Jesus? That's what our children need to see. That's what they need to hear. That's what they need to learn. Does your instruction, the stuff that we want our children and the next generation to receive, flow out of Christ? You know, father does it, and I'd say mother does this. You know, I note, for example, that in our text it says that do not forsake your mother's teaching. Now, the word teaching there has the Hebrew word Torah behind it. And to Torah means to teach law, to teach the way of the Lord. Does your teaching indeed reflect that the will of God, the heart of our saving Father, is at the heart and the basis of everything? You see, brothers and sisters, you've all heard the story of the man who says to his son, don't do as I do, just do as I say. Darn it. Because if there's one thing that our kids pick immediately, it's hypocrisy. How come you but that? So when we call our children here to hear the instruction to not forsake the mother's teaching, and when we tell them that they indeed will become a graceful garland for their head, you know, like a crown of flowers that look beautiful, and a pendant, a chain, a beautiful necklace that will make them stand out in a crowd, then it's going to have to be brothers and sisters teaching that focuses and centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus. That's the challenge. And so the book of Proverbs in many ways is a chat to youngsters, but it's to realize also that those who do the chatting, who do the teaching, the mothers and the fathers, need to be teaching that which centers on the person and work and the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you agree with that totally? Then we come to the next part of this particular section, where it starts in verse 10. It's a much longer section. My son, if sinners entice you. Let me introduce this by saying that when driving from one place to another in an area I know especially well, I love finding and then taking shortcuts. I reckon I save time, make life interesting, and finding a good shortcut always makes me feel good. The trouble is that whenever I take a member of my family on one of my proven shortcuts, I get all kinds of uncomplimentary comments. They never agree that my shortcut is a shortcut. I get the impression that I'm being told that I'm not as smart as I thought I was. Well, we human beings are attracted to shortcuts as bees are to honey. Anything that gets us there faster and with less effort sparkles like a diamond. It's the now thinking. Get rich quick. 50 million in lotto a week ago. Or get instant happiness with some whatever. Drink a dip. Get immediate sexual gratification. Turn on the computer to the P section. Get a car. It doesn't matter how you get your loan, as long as you get the car. The list goes on and on. You know, life is all about a million different shortcuts to get immediate self-satisfaction. King Solomon knew that in his day and age, one of the most tempting shortcuts for young men was to join one of the many gangs of young bloods who joined together to rob, to terrorize, to extort, and even murder travelers and whoever else they could lay their hands on. What you did if you wanted to get everything quickly and now was to become part of a band or a group of youngsters and a shareholder, therefore, in dividing the booty. A common purse means that you would gain the gang's assets and they would guarantee you enough to eat, and you could then sort of rock around the road, sort of say, I'm a member of this association, and all you peoples quake because we're young and we've got... If it reminds you of today's motorbike gangs, that's no coincidence, for the same feeling still operates today. Now, what the father says, my son, do not consent or go along with them. Why not? For he wants to point out that whilst these shortcuts may give instant mana, be it power, money, status, or a sense of belonging, sooner or later it will blow up in your own face. You know, I have a son. whom I could not convince that the shortcuts of the street would lead to his demise. And he went with them, and he stole with them, and he became exactly the man described here in Proverbs 1. And it was hell. It was hell for him because he could not get out of it once he tangled himself in it. It was hell for him because at that point he could no longer live with his own conscience. And he drank. And he took drugs. And he turned the radio up as loud as he possibly could so that he couldn't hear that inner voice. And he came to me one day and he said, "I hate you, Dad." I said, "What for?" "Because you've given me a conscience." And the day comes, whether you believe it or not, that each and every one of us will stand before the judge in heaven. And the books will be opened. And every little shortcut will stand exposed as a lie. I hadn't meant to speak as I have about my son, but many of you will also know that God caused him to have an accident which gave him brain damage, and that hasn't gone away. But that as a result of this brain damage, he now loves the Lord. And what greater reward can there possibly be? He doesn't have much, but he has Jesus. When I read this passage, I read the story of so many young people. And young people, maybe not your story yet, and all of us believed, as my son did, it'll never happen to me. Well, what happens is already described in Proverbs 1, because it is the way of the fool. It is the way of death and destruction. Listen to it again. Here are these young people. And then in verse 15, "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood." And look at verse 17. "For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird." I love birds. And the one thing that rather strikes me is that as a kid, I was told that if you want to catch a bird, you put what? Do any of you know what I'm going to say? You put what? Salt on its tail? And I've seen this. You know, a bird's not mad, you know. And here you get the story of a net. When a bird sees a net, what does it do? It flies in the other direction. And what Solomon is really saying, be smarter than a dumb bird. If a bird knows how to avoid a net, young people, don't be a brainless bird. Sorry, be a brainless bird might be a better way to say it, huh? In other words, stay away from the traps. For in vain is a net spread, but these men lay in wait for what? For their own blood. You see, what I want to point out is this, as I've pointed this out already in the story of my son. If you think that life can offer you a shortcut to success and completion and fulfillment, in fact, you're bringing your own blood upon your head. It will destroy you, if not today or next year or a car accident or a drug overdose, ultimately before the sight of God himself. What's the point of this? I want to say three things as I conclude this message. First and foremost, young people, children, listen to me for a moment. Just listen. I want to say something to you. Get wise. In other words, clean out your ears. Young people, tune in to the wisdom of God. And recognize, young people, that the wisdom of God also comes out of the mouth of your parents. And parents, mind your mouth and your lifestyle, so that the instruction you give that will save the life of your children will be there. Get wisdom. Learn to listen. And then apply it. Stop before it's too late. But perhaps the final and third thing I want to say is this. The challenge of this passage is to stop saying, I'll never be like that. It's also a challenge to look at yourself and say, well, where really are you? You see, in a big sense, you can say, I've never done any of this. Most of us can say that. Some of us can't. But there is a sense, brothers and sisters, that the greatest strength of any person, whether their sin is large or small, the greatest strength that the Lord can give you is the strength to own up. Can you hear me? The strength to own up, to be honest with yourself, to be honest with others, and ultimately to be honest with God. And when you own up and speak up to God, you're not going to go and say to God, here I am, God, didn't I do a great job? None of us will do that. But when we own up before God, what do? Frankly, we get on our knees. And we do, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And we begin to realize that in getting wisdom, in not going in a certain way, nevertheless we do fall. And as we fall, we stand before the throne of God and look to Jesus. You know, I had a stage where my son said to me, there's no hope for me, is there, Dad? And we went there. And we found it. I say we, because if there's one thing I've learned in life, is that I've got nothing to boast about, that I'm small, that I'm weak as a parent, as a grandparent, and as a pastor. but that in my weakness I can fall before the grace, before the throne of God, and turning my eyes upon Jesus, I find hope and deliverance and a peace that passes all understanding. So, Proverbs 1. Listen. Get wisdom. Don't go in a certain way. Own up, and it'll take you to the throne of Jesus. In that sense, too, Proverbs is a gospel. Amen. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, speaking in weakness, enable us to turn to your word and to find in this word the joy of Christ. The fact that Jesus is calling us, not simply to get wisdom, but also that he calls us to come to him to be healed and restored and forgiven and remade. Bless us also as we've heard these words today. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing now from number 459, Yield Not to Temptation, a beautiful song. Then we'll remain standing to receive the blessing and then sing from Psalm 119 once again. And after that, I'd ask you to be seated.